Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study, Galatians chapter 3, we were taught that Christians are eternally secure in Christ, but we will be chastened for our sin. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The law was something new, and it was different, which therefore could not be an element forming part or added to the promise. Could be part of the promise, could be added to the promise. It was 430 years after it was new, and it was different. And that's what's been taught here. Now, in essence, since a covenant once in force cannot be changed or rendered void by any subsequent action, then God's covenant with Abraham can't be changed or rendered void by the subsequent law. My friend, when we sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness," you are singing of the eternal love, ethicalness, and bond of his word. Now, isn't it great to know that this writing here tells us, in essence, that we are eternally secure in Christ? Our union in Christ is forever. But our communion can be broken. You see, sin blocks communion with Christ. So Christ, in love, brings forth his chastening. You read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. We find out that the Lord chastens and even scourges everyone that he's received. Chastening? Oh, that can be the verbal rebuke, the even, the slap on the hand, so to speak. But scourging has the idea of the flog with the whip. And so when God chastens us, it's telling us about the importance of his holiness, and that holiness and separation from worldliness, the flesh, and sin is for our good. So, since separation from those things, from the evil, is good, then, my friend, praise God for his chastening. Praise the Lord for what he does. You see, my friend, he says in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 12, "If any be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Now, I know that that's a very strong word in today's society, and it's been that way. But the word that's used here to describe what God thinks of the person who's without Christ, he doesn't chasten him because he's not one of his. Instead, one day, he's going to pour out his wrath on that person in hell. And that takes us to verses 18 and 19 here, as we continue to look here at Abraham's people, and we've been considering now, under Abraham's people, confirmed by the covenant. So as we look at verse 18, it says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. See, now this ought to be the most powerful motive for a holy life. It ought to be the most powerful motive for our complete obedience to Him. The very fact we're kept by grace in spite of our unworthiness, but we're separated from fellowship when we walk according to the flesh, which proves that a truly born again person is born again by grace. And instead of being an excuse for sin, grace actually is a great deterrent to sin, because it's grace that allows fellowship, communion to be restored with the Lord. You see, we're saved by grace, but we also live by His grace. So, those that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, oh, we've got liberty to do all this. The Lord has no time for them. You see, sin separates. Grace keeps us, though, from being forever separated from God. Because once we're saved, we're His. In the book of 1 Corinthians, some were sickly, some slept early. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32. And some were taken home before God really planned for them to die. Because God chastens His own. So if the inheritance were of the law, it's no more a promise. The Abrahamic covenant promises were based on pure grace, the grace of God. Fulfillment of those promises did not depend on anything Abraham did or didn't do. Remember, Abraham fell asleep. When the sacrifices were laid out, he fell into a deep sleep, and God did all the work. God gave the promise, and God doesn't lie. You know, isn't that interesting? The perfect tense is used to show that this action was completed in the past here, but the results are ongoing. They're continuing. That's the beauty of the Greek language in which the Bible was written here in the New Testament, which this was written in. And so it has an ongoing effect. Praise the Lord for that. That is just wonderful. It really is. It's a sure, sure thing. Now that takes us into verse 19. And in verse 19 we read, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, I like this because the Holy Spirit of God anticipates the question that would come to their mind back then, may come to people's mind today. What serveth the law? Well, it was to show us our transgressions. This is going to show us that even in the Old Testament era, men were not saved by keeping the law because no one could keep it. I get a kick out of the book of James because I've heard people say, well, James believed in a work salvation. Matter of fact, it was Martin Luther who thought that James shouldn't even be a part of the Bible because he thought it taught a work salvation. Oh, no. James was teaching us the salvation that works. And that really what the Holy Spirit, it wasn't James, it's the Holy Spirit through the pen of James. But again, James chapter 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Kind of like being held by a chain over a tall precipice. Chain breaks, you're gone. It only takes one weak link. You're attached by 10 links of chain, and one of them is weak, and it breaks, you still fall from the precipice that you're held over. And hanging over the precipice of hell, if you're depending on your work, you're going to fall headlong into hell. Now, it's important to understand what portion of the law is being addressed. You see, it's not the ceremonial law. It's the moral law. The ceremonial law was important because its practices pointed men to the Savior until he should come. But after Jesus Christ came, this portion of the law was no longer needed. The ceremonial law, with its sacrifices, will be brought back during the millennium. But during this present age, it is set aside. You see, it's interesting that when you look at the Jewish worship today, there's something it seems to lack. It lacks blood. I mean, if you read their own Pentateuch, Genesis to Deuteronomy, they would see clearly that the thing lacking from their worship is blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So the part of the law which cannot be set aside is the moral law. The moral law is needed to show man the nature of sin and to deter that man from falling into transgression. Now, we're chastened for moral failure, not for failure to keep the ceremonies of the law. Now, I find it interesting that a man by the name of Ray Comfort, now, I don't know Ray Comfort. I don't necessarily say you ought to hear him because I don't know him. And I can't say he's got a good ministry, a bad ministry. I don't know the man, but I heard a tape by him one time in which he goes through the Ten Commandments in witnessing. It's an open-air thing, and he's out, and they're recording it where he is witnessing to people. And he asks them about heaven and hell, and then he gets the Ten Commandments, and he says, well, let's go through it. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.